It is 6th of August. You may be expecting me to comment on Amnesty International's allegations of Ukraine's alleged violations of rules and customs of war, but I won't do that. Suffice it to say that I can't help feeling that Amnesty International is struggling to get amnesty for just one person, Vladimir Putin. The rest are not so important to them. In general, large international organizations have completely discredited themselves. For what purposes the United Nations needed? All those nice, paid, well-dressed people doing nothing but chit-chat. And the Red Cross, which apparently takes Ukrainian orphans to Russia. To the same Russia that made these children orphans. Do Red Cross workers have principles and conscience? I know that I'm speaking harshly, that I may offend someone, but believe me, there is no strength and desire to discuss the next statements of the next functionaries at the time when the war is going on. It is probably hard for people living outside of Ukraine to imagine this, but here even the social networks familiar to everyone, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, have long turned into obituaries. In the morning, you pick up your phone, scroll through the news feed and read about new dead, new missing, tortured in captivity or killed from the wounds after another shelling of cities. The whole nation carries a monstrous trauma. For a long time, there has not been a single Ukrainian who was not directly affected by the war, who did not have dead or injured relatives, refugee loved ones, or friends who lost everything after another volley of Russian missiles. And the pages of Ukrainians in social networks are almost a complete pain. Not despair, no, but pain. I almost gave up on social media. Only sometimes I publish where photos of some dogs or cats living in military positions, just because I don't know what to write about and why. Here my former colleague was seriously wounded, here a neighbor's son was captured and nothing is known about him, here my refugee friend ended up in a hospital in a serious condition, far from home and without a penny of money. And that's how everyone lives around. For almost half a year, our existence is overcoming the ocean of pain and fear. And there is no end in sight. A couple of days ago, I drove through my native Kharkiv in the company of several military men. The city suffered greatly. Entire neighborhoods were destroyed, charred fragments of buildings around, broken glass and other consequences of daily shelling. One of my fellow travelers, a career officer, fighting on the front line not far from Kharkiv, talked it all the way about which rocket and when destroyed this or that house, how many people died, how many were injured. It was a very hard journey from my hometown, but it ended even harder. Saying goodbye, I asked this officer when, in his opinion, the war would end. He answered it frighteningly, simply and briefly, when we kill them all. Without the complete defeat of the enemy, this war will not end. I absolutely do not understand the obsession of the Russians with the idea of our complete destruction or at least subjugation. It is something completely irrational and indescribably cruel to root out an entire nation, to make the survivors renounce their language, their culture, their history. For what? Why in the 21st century can these cannibalistic ideas still turn the heads of entire nations? But they turned. And so we need to fight until the Russians either change their minds or are left without their armies.